Chapter 18, A Scientific Adventure. "Why didn't you let me take the squirrel?" Tootie said to Flora's mother. "I'll just return him to the wild."
"If you can call the backyard the wild," said William Spiver.
"Hush up, William," said Tootie. She reached out for Ulysses.
"Don't touch it," shrieked Flora's mother. "Not without gloves. It has some sort of disease."
"If you could just get me some gloves then," said Tootie, "I'll pluck the squirrel off the lampshade and whisk him out of here and set him free. The kids can come along. It will be a scientific adventure."
"Doesn't sound very scientific to me," said William Spiver.
"Well," said Flora's mother, "I don't know. Flora Bell's father is coming to pick her up for their Saturday visit. He'll be here any minute now, and she's still in her pajamas."
"Flora Bell," said William Spiver. "What a lovely, melodious name."
"It will all just take a minute," said Tootie in a low, soothing voice. "The kids can get to know each other."
"I'll get some gloves," said Flora's mother.
And so now here they were, walking over to Tootie's getting to know each other, or something.
Tootie had on a pair of dishwashing gloves that went all the way up to her elbows. The gloves were bright pink, and they glowed in a cheery, radioactive sort of way. In Tootie's gloved hands was Ulysses. Behind Tootie was Flora, and next to Flora was William Spiver. His left hand rested on her shoulder.
"Do you mind, Flora Bell?" he had said. "Would it trouble you terribly if I put my hand on your shoulder and allowed you to guide me back to Great Aunt Tootie's house? The world is a treacherous place when you can't see." Flora didn't bother pointing out to him that the world was a treacherous place when you could see. And speaking of treacherous, things were not in any way progressing as Flora had planned. She had envisioned Ulysses fighting crime, criminals, villainy, darkness, treachery, and she imagined him flying, holy bagoomba, through the world with her, Flora Buckman at his side. Instead, here she was leading a temporarily blind boy through her own backyard. It was anticlimactic, to say the least.
"Have you released the squirrel yet, Aunt Great Aunt Tootie?"
"No," said Tootie, "I have not."
"Why do I sense that there is more going on here than meets the eye?" said William Spiver.
"Just keep quiet till I get back to the house, William," said Tootie.
"Can you do that? Keep quiet for a minute?"
"Of course I am," said William Spiver. He sighed. "I'm an old pro at keeping quiet." Flora doubted very much that this was true. William Spiver squeezed her shoulder.
"May I inquire how old you are, Flora Bell?"
"Don't squeeze my shoulder. I'm 10.
"I am 11 years old," said William Spiver.
"Which surprises me, I must say. I feel much, much older than 11. Also, I know for a fact that I am smaller than your average 11-year-old. It may even be that I'm shrinking. Excessive trauma can retard growth. I'm not certain, however, if it can actually cause shrinkage."
"What was the traumatic event that turned you blind?" asked Flora.
"I'd prefer not to discuss it right now. I don't want to alarm you."
"It's not possible to alarm me," said Flora. "I'm a cynic. Nothing in human nature surprises a cynic."
"So you say," said William Spiver. The word cryptic popped into Flora's head. It was preceded by the word unnecessarily.
"Unnecessarily cryptic," said Flora out loud.
"I beg your pardon?" said William Spiver.
And then they were at Tootie's house. They were walking through her backyard and into her kitchen, which smelt like bacon and lemons.
Tootie put Ulysses down on the table.
I don't understand, said William Spiver. We're back at your house, but I can still smell the squirrel.
Flora took the paper out of her pajamas. She handed it to Tootie. She felt like a spy, a successful spy, a triumphant spy, albeit a spy in her pajamas.
What's this? Said Tootie.
It's proof that you aren't the victim of an extended hallucination, said Flora. Tootie held the paper in both hands. She stared at it.
Squirtle, she said.
Squirtle, said William Spiver.
Keep reading, said Flora.
Squirtle, said Tootie. I am Ulysses, born anew.
See, said Flora.
What does that prove? Asked William Spiver.
What does it even mean?
The squirrel's name is Ulysses, said Tootie.
Wait a minute, said William Spiver. Are you positing that the squirrel typed those words?
Positing?
Positing?
Yes, said Flora. That's exactly what I'm positing.
The hallucination extends, said Tootie.
What hallucination? Said William Spiver.
The squirrel is a superhero hallucination, said Tootie.
Surely you jest, said William Spiver.
Ulysses sat on his hind legs. He looked at William Spiver and then Tootie, and finally he turned his eyes to Flora. He raised his eyebrows and gave her a look full of questions, full of hope. Flora felt a pang of doubt. He was, after all, just a squirrel. She had no proof that he was a superhero, that if there was some other explanation for those words. Also, there was Tootie's disturbing point to consider. What kind of superhero types? And then she thought of Alfred, how everyone doubted him, how no one, except the parakeet Dolores, knew that he was incandesto, and how no one except Dolores truly believed him. Was it Flora's job to believe in Ulysses? And what did that make her? A parakeet?
Let me get this straight, said William Spiver. You, a self-professed cynic, are positing that the squirrel is a superhero?
The words "do not hope" instead of "deserve" fitted through Flora's brain. She took a deep breath. She brushed the fate phrase away.
The squirrel typed those words, she said.
Well, said William Spiver, whose hand was still on Flora's shoulder,
why didn't he move his hand?
Let's just approach this scientifically. We'll put the squirrel in front of Great Aunt Tootie's computer, and we'll ask him to type again. Chapter 19. The Inadvertent Eye. He sat in front of the machine. It was different from Flora's mother's typewriter. There was a blank screen instead of paper, and the whole contraption glowed, emitting a warm but not entirely friendly smell. The keyboard was familiar, though. Each of the letters was there, each of them in the same place. Flora and Tootie stood behind him, and William Spiver, the boy with dark glasses, stood behind him, too. This was an important moment. Ulysses understood that very well. Everything depended on him typing something. He had to do it for Flora. His whiskers trembled. He could feel them trembling. He could see them trembling. What could he do? He turned and sniffed his tail. There was nothing he could do except to be himself, to try to make the letters on the keyboard speak the truth of his heart, to work to make them reveal the essence of the squirrel he was.
But what was the truth? And what kind of squirrel was he?
He looked around the room. There was a tall window, and outside the window was the green, green world and the blue sky. Inside there were shelves and shelves of books, and on the wall above the keyboard was a picture of a man and woman floating over a city. They were suspended in a golden light. The man was holding the woman, and she had one arm flung out in front of her as if she were pointing the way home. Ulysses liked the woman's face. She reminded her of Flora. Looking at the painting made the squirrel feel warm inside, certain of something. Whoever had painted the picture loved the floating man and the floating woman. He loved the city they floated above. He loved the golden light, just as Ulysses loved the green world outside and the blue sky and Flora's round head. His whiskers stopped trembling.
"What's happening?" asked William Spiver.
"Nothing," said Flora. "He's gone into some kind of trance," said Tootie.
"Shh," said Flora. Ulysses inched closer to the keyboard. It was beautiful to the squirrel to see all the letters appear out of nowhere.
"Well, what is it? What's the letter?"
"It's an I, William Spiver."
"But that proves nothing. Of course, anyone can inadvertently hit an I. You don't have to be a superhero to type an I."
"Would you please hush up, William?"
"1, I, 1, I, 1, 0, the squirrel typed. The people waited. Destiny bestirred itself. Chapter 20. What It Said.
"I love your round head, the brilliant green, the watching blue. These letters, this world, you. I am very, very hungry."
Chapter 21. Poetry. They were sitting in Tootie's office. Tootie was on the couch with a package of frozen peas on her head. She had fainted. Unfortunately, she had hit her head on the edge of the desk on the way down. Fortunately, Flora had remembered an issue of Terrible Things Can Happen to You, advising that a bag of frozen peas made an excellent cold compress to provide comfort and reduce swelling.
"Read it once more," said William Spiver to Flora.
Flora read Ulysses' words out loud again.
"The squirrel wrote poetry," said Tootie in a voice filled with wonder.
"Keep those peas on your head," said Flora.
"I don't get the last part," said William. "The part about hunger. What does that mean?"
Flora turned away from the computer and looked at William Spiver's dark glasses and saw, again, her round-headed, pajamaed self reflecting there.
"It means he's hungry," she said. "He hasn't had any breakfast."
"Oh," said William Spiver. "I see. It's literal." Ulysses was sitting on his hind legs behind the computer. He nodded hopefully.
"It's poetry," said Tootie from the couch.
Ulysses puffed up his chest the teeniest bit. "Well, it might be poetry," said William Spiver, "but it's not great poetry. It's not even good poetry."
"But what does this all mean?" said Tootie.
"Why does it have to mean anything?" said William Spiver. "The universe is a random place."
"Oh, for heaven's sakes, William," said Tootie.
Flora felt something well up inside of her. What was it? Pride in the squirrel? Annoyance at William Spiver? Wonder? Hope? Suddenly, she remembered the words that appeared over Alfred T. Slipper's head when he submerged in a vast of incandesto.
"Do you doubt him?
Do not."
"Do you doubt him?" said Flora.
"Of course I doubt him," said William Spiver.
"Do not," said Flora.
"Why?"
said William Spiver. She stared at him. Take off your glasses, she says. I want to see your eyes.
No, said William Spiver.
Take them off.
I won't.
Children, said Tootie, please.
Who was William Spiver, really?
Yes, yes, he was the great nephew of Tootie Tickham. Suddenly, suspiciously, came to stay the summer. But who was he, really? What if he was some kind of comic book character himself? What if he was a villain whose powers were depleted as soon as the light of the world hit his eyes? Incandesto was forever being attacked by his arch-nemesis, the darkness of 10,000 hands. Every superhero had an arch-nemesis. What if Ulysses' arch-nemesis was William Spiver? The truth must be known, said Flora. She stepped forward. She reached out her hand to remove William Spiver's glasses. And then she heard her name. Flora! Bell! Your father's here!
Flora Bell, said William Spiver in a gentle voice.
Ulysses was still standing on his hind legs. His ears were pricked. He looked back and forth between Flora and William Spiver. We have to go, said Flora.
Wait, said William Spiver.
Flora picked Ulysses up by the scruff of his neck. She put him upon her pajama top.
Will I ever see you again? Said William Spiver.
The universe is a random place, William Spiver, said Flora. Who can say whether we will meet again or not?